from now until Lent begins on February 14th of all days, Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, it's going to be a wonderful combination. What'd you get me, honey? Piece of bread? Some water? From now until Lent begins, we will hear on Sundays the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the first of the Gospels written, the shortest of the Gospels. Mark doesn't have time for infancy narratives, for visits from angels or shepherds or magi, for Joseph and Mary losing Jesus only to have him found in the temple. Mark doesn't have time for John's high theology. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. None of that. With so little buildup, Jesus just explodes onto the scene. The gospel that we have tonight, we hear Jesus who gives his first words and calls his first disciples. And that call tonight, those first words, and that call of disciples is for you and for me tonight, right here, right now, just as much as it was for the first people who heard Jesus speak publicly, and the first apostles, Peter and Andrew, James and John. So, this gospel then merits our attention. Let's open it up. What does Jesus say? This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is for you and for me tonight. So let's take that phrase and open it up one by one. This is the time of fulfillment. This is the time of fulfillment. You know, in our culture, there is so much for us. And many of our lives are very full. Many people have full lives. How many people are fulfilled? There's a big difference, isn't there? To be full or to be fulfilled. We have so much that comes at us, whether it's good stuff or unnecessary stuff or bad stuff. And our lives are full. But are we fulfilled? See, Jesus explodes onto the scene in Galilee in Mark's gospel. He explodes onto the scene to ask that very question, are you fulfilled? And what he says is, this is the time of fulfillment because I am here now. Because only God satisfies the deepest longing of the human heart. Only God satisfies your heart and mine. Nothing else, no one else, nothing else could satisfy your heart. You can have all of it, and your life can be full, and you can still be unfulfilled. But Jesus comes to change that. This is the time. This is the time, right here, right now, because I am here. Then he moves on. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is at hand. This kingdom where God reigns and God rules, it is at hand, right here, right now, for you and for me. No need to wait. No need to hope in some far distant future. It is right here and right now because Jesus is present right here and right now. And that might have seemed a lot easier in Galilee when Jesus physically was walking right here, right now for those people. But every time we gather and we hear the word of God, Jesus is present. Every time we gather as the family of God, Jesus says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. And brothers and sisters, every time we gather around the altar, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, his kingdom, his reign, which is nothing less than himself, is at hand. We should not sleepwalk through that. We should not sit back and go, when is this going to get over? But rather, we should be ready with energy and excitement, ready to respond. Why are we not ready? Because of the next thing Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. We all need to change. If you don't need to change, you don't need to be here. But every single one of us needs to repent. And of course, that word has this judgmental connotation. It usually is associated with some crazy preacher, right? The world is going to end, so he's screaming, repent. But that's not really what the word is about. Bishop Robert Barron, for years now, has made the point that the Greek word repent, metanoiete, that word means go beyond the mind you have. What a wonderful way to understand repentance. To go beyond the mind that we have, because something bigger and something better is at hand. To be ready to open up to something new and powerful and amazing. To go beyond the mind we have. Well, brothers and sisters, certainly sin constricts us. Certainly it does. Absolutely. And so we're called to repentance. And that is why we ask the forgiveness of God at the beginning of every Mass. And that is why we have the sacrament of confession available to us. Certainly, sin constricts us. But there's other attitudes too. What is the mind that many of us have? Maybe many of us in this chapel tonight. Certainly, many of us in this culture. I would argue it's this. My life. My plans, my projects, my life is about me. That is a very constricting way of seeing who you are and who God is. And even for us religious people, listen now, even for us who are following the Lord, listen. My terms, my conveniences. I'll follow Jesus on my terms. I'll follow Jesus when it's convenient for me. That is dangerous, brothers and sisters. Because if we have that attitude, then we truly don't know who we're following. Jesus is the Lord. Your life is not about you. Your relationship with God should be lived on his terms and not your terms. Your relationship with God should not be one of convenience, but rather it should be the driving force of your existence to live in an honest and loyal way to God who loves you and who wants to set you free from anything that constricts how he might be able to move in your life. Go beyond the mind you have. Go beyond that selfish way of seeing and open up into the fullness that Jesus invites us to. And that, brothers and sisters, is the gospel, the euangelion, the good news. The good news. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, Jesus, He doesn't just use words. He shows up on the scene, and he has these great words for us that are worthy of our attention. But he also calls. He calls the first apostles into radical discipleship. He calls you and me tonight into radical discipleship. You see, God isn't far out there. He's not distant in that way. But rather, he is a personal God who knows your heart, who loves you perfectly, and who has a specific and personalized plan for you and your life. He is calling you. The question is, how do you and I respond? You know, I received a call to be a priest. It wasn't my own plan. It wasn't my own project. I had my plan. I was teaching high school. I had my project. I was coaching basketball. My life was good. It was satisfying, if not fundamentally fulfilling, right? And the Lord began calling. And for a while, I don't want to listen to that. What I got is good right now. But the Lord called and kept calling. And finally, I got in touch with the Bishop of Helena, Bishop Thomas's predecessor. And I told him at one point, over a long time of prayer and frequent conversation with him, I said at a certain point, I said, I really feel confident the Lord is calling me. I just don't know when I should go. Go to seminary. Go to discern this. And I'll never forget his words back to me. He said, if the Lord is calling, it is always urgent. If the Lord is calling, it is always urgent. Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling. He is calling you. He is calling me. And that call is always urgent. That call saves us. It saves us from settling for too little. Let me say that again. The call of the Lord saves us from settling for too little. You might think you have a great plan for your life, but if you prefer your plan for your life above God's plan, you are settling for too little. Even if you decide to be a great doctor who does great things for all sorts of people and helps out a lot, if that is not God's plan for your life, you are settling for too little. He calls, and it is an urgent call, because there is nothing more important for you tonight than to respond to that call, to walk with Jesus in a bold, radical way. His call will save you. His call will save you from settling for too little. There's nothing more important for your heart than to hear that call and to respond. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important for this world. This world, God knows it doesn't need more politicians. What it needs are saints. It needs men and women who are convicted in their faith, who believe in the love of God, having received it, are passionate about giving that love to other people, who are not afraid to be public witnesses to Jesus Christ, who believe that the gospel and the gospel alone has the remedy for the human heart, and no social program or no revolution or whatever we're doing right now is going to answer those fundamental needs if it's not rooted and grounded in the love of God. So you and me have a mission. It is urgent that we respond. Don't waste your youth. Don't wait years, because years turn into decades, and decades turn into a lifetime of low living, mediocrity, and we don't get to have this time back. One life to live, make it count. The Lord calls. I have two questions for you tonight. Are you listening? And are you available? Are you listening to the Lord? Or is your life full of so many other voices that you couldn't possibly discern His? So much other busyness, so many distractions, you couldn't possibly pick His voice out among the chorus of other voices competing for your attention. If you pray, and the Lord of the others, are you listening? Don't answer too quickly. Are you available to Jesus Christ? To let Him in and to let Him rule in your heart?